Over the last couple of weeks, we've heard from a couple of different couples serving in very different parts of the world. Last week it was Laos, this week in Italy, and as we have said, we all are on mission. What's the best news that you have ever heard in your life? You can think about that for a little while. One of the things that I enjoy studying is history. And there's a very famous photograph, I think it was taken actually in New York City in Times Square at the end of World War II, where I think, I don't even think they knew each other, but there was a sailor or something who had in his embrace some lovely young woman, and she had her, and they were just ecstatic because the war was over. Now, I'm not old enough to remember the end of World War II. Some of you might be. Richard may be one, and a few of you remember the end of that war. It was a time of great celebration. Good news. And yet, as I was thinking about that again over this past week, the best news that ever was told in the history of the world happened one Sunday morning when a couple of young women, or perhaps mixed with some of the older women as well, went to the tomb to discover that it was empty. That news changed the world. That's what we want to talk about this morning as we conclude our four-part series in what we have been calling Church 101. What is the church all about? What are the main elements of church life as we've been examining the four pillars of the church? In your bulletins, again, I guess I have mine here. Yes, in your bulletin, if you'll open it up, I would remind you of what Richmond Alliance Church is all about. And I would suggest to you it's not just Richmond Alliance Church, but any church that is fully committed to the gospel ministry would incorporate these four elements in its ministries. And they're written for us again, and this is actually in our official church documentation. It says that Richmond Alliance Church is an evangelical, Bible-believing church committed to helping people know and follow Jesus Christ through meaningful worship as we gaze upward, the transformational word as we grow inward, relational warmth as we reach outward, and this morning and finally, spiritual witness as we go forward. They say the church is one of the few organizations that does not exist ultimately for itself. It exists primarily to reach and win more people for the cause that we are on, for the message that we have. And so this morning, the element of spiritual witness, the bringing of the good news of the gospel message to people around us and ultimately around the world. And what I thought I would do this morning is something that it's not usually how I handle a sermon, but this morning's sermon is not coming from one specific text where we actually work our way through and I outline it. I actually want to take a word and use it as an acrostic. An acrostic is where we take the first a letter from each of those words, and that's my outline this morning. And the acrostic is based upon the word evangel, from which we get evangelism or evangelical. The word evangel actually comes as a transliteration of the Greek word euangelion, or the root euangel, which means literally and simply good news. The Greek word euangelizo means to announce the good news. Euangelistes, which means one who is the preacher of the good news or of the gospel. The word euangelos, simply we have translated in most of the parts of the New Testament as the gospel or the good news. And I wanted to use that term, gospel or evangel, to help us understand what the good news is and what is our responsibility with respect to it. And so I take the first letters of that term, and I want to share with you the seven truths of being the heralds, as it were, of this good news. And before we do that, I would just preface it by saying I think there has been a significant erosion, even in our churches and even among Christians, in understanding what the gospel, what the good news really is. Because if we do not understand the gospel, do we understand what this good news is, we can very easily go off on some sort of a tangent where we miss the main point. And we'll talk about that this morning. I would suggest to you right off the top that the good news is not about our answers to people's lives in terms of the difficulties they have, or about our culture, or about anything else surrounding it, or to give your life meaning. That may be a product of the good news, but that is not ultimately the good news. And I'm afraid sometimes we have become distracted and our energies are going into things that are byproducts of the good news, and we do not actually share the good news itself. And so this morning, the term evangel or gospel and what it is. Are we ready? Okay, number one, and you can write it down if you want, but number one, or first of all, E, when we talk about evangel, is the expression, the term, and we've already alluded to this, for very good news. It is the expression for very good news. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Paul is writing, and he says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand." Paul came preaching the gospel, the euangelos, the evangel, the good news. It actually comes from the Greek term for victory. It's not simply a biblical word, euangelos or evangel. It was often used in military conquests where the runner might return with the gospel from the front lines. The good news. We won. That's the good news. That is the gospel. In World War II, after the war, there were headlines in the newspapers, "Victory." That is the good news. It was also used in first century culture to announce a birth or the engagement of a couple. That was the evangel, the good news. So every time an engagement card is sent out or a birth announcement is sent out, we would consider that to be the evangel, the good news. Couples engaged and they have to go tell everybody and show the ring, and they say, "Oh, thank you for sharing the evangel with me. You're such an evangelist." And literally that's true. They are simply announcing something profoundly good that has happened. In the New Testament, that word was applied to the message of the Christian. The evangelist then became the sharer of this good news, the deliverer of the message. Remember, after Jesus was born, who came to the shepherds? Angels. Actually, the term angel has the same root, angelos, euangelion, same root meaning messenger. Here it was the gospel is the euangelos, the good message, but the root is messenger. The angel came to the shepherds proclaiming what? Good tidings, good news. The word there is evangel, the good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And so the coming of Jesus to this world is the gospel. It is the expression, this term of very good news. Now, you and I know that there's a lot of bad news in this world. Right? The last week, I prayed through some of this stuff. And I couldn't help, without getting into the politics of it, of watching this 16-year-old Swedish girl at the UN. Now, was that not heartbreaking? Now, I don't mean whether I agree or disagree with the message that she was portraying. And that's a whole other political story. I'm not getting into that. But only the hopelessness that was represented. As a, how sad. But that's all around us. This groping into the dark, wondering if there's going to be a future. It's just a pervasive darkness in our world. I wanted to cry. But the Christian, you and I, have very good news. I don't know if you're aware of that. Sometimes we've been in Christians so long, we forget how good the news is. It's the best news. Now, what is that news? I'm glad you asked. V. The gospel is the victory of Jesus Christ over the power of death. Some of this will be old hat, but I want to remind us of it before I get into the sharing of this aspect of this message. The gospel is the victory of Jesus Christ over the power of death. Mark 1:1. We call the first books of the New Testament the what? The Gospels. The good news. This is how Mark begins. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul in Romans 1:9 describes himself as the one who was called to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. The good news is about Jesus Christ, God's Son. What news is good about Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul actually defines the gospel of Jesus for us. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, by which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. Then he says in verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared. And he says, and it is by this good news, by this gospel, he says in other places, that we are saved by believing this good news of Jesus. His death, his substitutionary atonement on a cross, and his resurrection to life, his ascension, and the fact that people witness this is the good news. And it's this good news that is able to save people from sin, death, and hell. Good news. You do know that people all around us are perishing, don't you? I sometimes don't think about that for a while, then it kind of grips me again. That people in this world are lost. Again, I'm watching this from the UN and all these leaders of the world trying to solve the world's problem. I realize this is a human effort. That ultimately, oh, they try a little bit here and a little bit, but there is no, this is not the answer. The answer is found in one who came to rescue us from a much deeper problem than whatever the UN may be discussing. The good news is that there's hope in someone who came to rescue us. And every man and woman and boy and girl on this planet needs that hope, for there is no other hope in this world. That's good news. Remember a few years back, these boys were trapped in an underground cave in Thailand. And the joy when they were rescued. And I'm here to remind us that this world is trapped in a cave with no hope of rescue except through Jesus. He is the rescuer. And if that ended in great celebration for those families and the friends of those boys who were rescued, how much more is the news that we have for people who can be eternally rescued? Jesus did that for mankind. Paul says that Christ abolished death and he brought life and immortality. And because of that, we have an eternal hope. We have been saved from the torment of eternal punishment forever. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that more and more, about how good that news really is. We can get so distracted by life around us that we fail to maintain an eternal perspective of our neighbors that we rub shoulders with and our family members and even casual acquaintances. I went and got my hair cut yesterday morning. I hope it was okay. An Italian barber. He, when he was a teenager, studied to be a priest. He was a junior monk for a while in Italy. He's kind of abandoned all that, but it opens doors sometimes for conversation. And what do you do as he's gotten to know me? Oh, I'm a pastor. So now he's interested. And we talk about things. Is there an awareness of the good news that you carry with you? We're called ambassadors for Jesus. We are his representatives. Wherever we go, every day we get up and we go about our business, we are constantly on mission, or we are to be, with the good news that has supposedly captured our souls. It is the victory of Jesus Christ over the power of death. Thirdly, A, it is the announcement of the coming reign of God, the good news. It is the announcement of the coming reign of God. Matthew 24:14. It says, and this gospel, this good news of the kingdom, will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world. The fact that God is coming to rule, to reign, that his son will one day reign in this world overall. And the good news is that there is a political leader that is coming that will take charge, and it will be a completely righteous reign. Aren't you looking forward to that? As we hear about all the politics going on, but one day elections will be done. And the good news is one will come who will reign in perfect righteousness and harmony in this world. In a sense, this rule, this reign is already here in our hearts as we've received him, but there is a greater fulfillment of that reign yet to come. Is he ruling in your heart today? Has he taken up reign? That is the good news, is that there is one who knows you, who has died for you and loves you and wants to rule in your heart. It was St. Augustine who said, thou hast made us for thyself and restless in our heart until it comes to rest in thee. This is the good news, is that there is someone who can take your life and restore it. Oh, how the world needs this. And there's a sense, as I've said already, in which this is still coming. Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Daniel 2:44 describes this as a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Revelation talks about a 1,000-year reign of Christ and the promise that we will reign with him. Oh, one day all the junk in this world will be gone. All will be right, all will be just, and there is a new order coming. Do you believe that? Do we really understand that? That's good news. Fourth expression of for very good news, it is the victory of Jesus Christ over the power of death and sin and death. It is the announcement of the coming reign of God. Fourthly, it is the news which requires a response. It is the news which requires a response. Mark 1 and verse 15. Jesus says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. See, the gospel, the good news, is not something that is simply declared and we say, oh, isn't that great? It needs to be responded to. Now, I know this is repetition. This is something that most of us all know, but I think we need the reminder. And I also want to be very careful that I don't presume that everyone sitting here this morning has done that. We have to personally respond to the gospel message, to this good news of Jesus Christ coming for mankind as a substitutionary atonement. It's not enough to know that Jesus paid the price for our sins and to know that his reign is coming. One must make personal application. One must respond. Jesus said, one must believe in the good news. Believe what? What we talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus came, he died as your substitute, that he had the power over the grave, he rose again, that he ascended to the Father in heaven, and that one day he is coming for you, and you put your faith in him and what he has done for you. Now, why would I remind you of that? Because if someone asks you what the good news is, I think it is incumbent upon every person who calls himself a Christian to understand how to communicate that in 2 minutes or less to anyone who might ask you, well, what is the good news? What does it really mean to be a Christian? Simple. You're a sinner. Jesus came and died on a cross for your sins as a substitute. He rose from the dead, indicating his power over death, sin, and hell. He rose to the Father, and you must trust in him because he is coming back. Could you share that with someone if they asked you? What is the good news? Before we can be witnesses, before we can be evangelists, we have to know what it is, the messages that we are sharing with people. Jesus also talks about repenting. That's an important word. It means to turn around. Responding to the gospel means walking in one direction, being confronted with the good news of Jesus and everything he says about us and the deliverance that he offers to us, and it is receiving that and then turning around and going in a different direction. That's what it means to repent. We have far too many people who claim to be Christians today who think they're Christians, but they have never repented. Jesus is a little add-on to your life. We'll talk more about that next week as we witness baptism. No, it is a whole new life. We talked about it in our class this morning with JD, about the born-again experience that the Holy Spirit applies to our hearts. Jesus isn't something you just add. You know, I got all these things on my list, and one of them is Jesus. No, Jesus is my life now. It is my priority. I have a new heart. I have a new nature. I have been born anew. I turn my back on the old. Have we done that? Have we responded to the good news? And each person must make a response. And a later is a no. No decision is rejection. So I set that all as background for the gospel, for the good news. Fifth, it is the ground upon which we build our lives. It is the ground upon which we build our lives. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel. The good news, the gospel of Christ, not only saves us, but grounds us and strengthens us and equips us, some of your translations will say, for life here and now. The word there for strengthen or to establish is the Greek word steritsai. We get the word steroid from it. I don't know about you, but I need a steroid for living. Because I'm pretty helpless on my own. As we receive Jesus, as we understand who he is and we apply him to our lives as he comes to make residence with us, he now is the steroid. I think that's the Holy Spirit now applied to our lives to allow us to live in his power and in his strength. It's so easy to get unglued, to get all scattered with respect to what may be happening, but he is the steroid. That is the good news. That is the gospel. It gives us a foundation for living. Jesus told the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand, but the wise man builds his house upon the rock. We have a foundation for life. We used to sing a song, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Life outside the gospel is continual turbulence. It is only the gospel that brings salvation and hope and power and peace. I don't know what people do who put their head on the pillow at night and do not know Jesus. Especially as you're getting older and you face a future that is so uncertain. How can you live that way? But we have a foundation for life. Our souls have a harbor. We know who's in control. And no matter what happens, we are safe in his hands. That's the good news. E. It is the event which we are obligated to share with others. Now we come to the application part, having set the foundation. If this is really true, and it has changed our lives, and is the only hope for mankind, what option do we have? Mark 16:15. Jesus says to his disciples just before he ascends to the Father, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." I've alluded to this throughout the message, but the only hope for everyone around us is this good news. When good news happens in our lives, the natural expression is to share it with those around, right? Somebody from a former church posted on Facebook this week, she had a baby. We splash that stuff. No, we just go, just go tell my parents. I had a baby. Oh, that's nice. See ya. We put this in social media, and everybody likes, like, and it's wonderful. We get engaged. Look at the ring. Right? Celebrations, events. They bring joy to our lives. Does Jesus do that for us? Sometimes I'm ashamed. The greatest news that we have experienced, we can sit on. Oh, I'm not sure he wants to hear that. He can be offended. Paul, so burdened by this, he writes in Corinthians that, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." This was his, with the way the French would say it, his raison d'être, his reason for being. Because Christ grabbed him. He actually says, he apprehended me on the road to Damascus and he grabbed me and he turned me around and he saved me, even though I was spitting at him and I wanted to kill all his followers. He says, what choice do I have? Now, if Christ has grabbed us and, you know, and you didn't choose him, by the way, he came and rescued you, even though you were not looking for him at all. Do I have any real choice? Do I have any sense of appreciation? Do I have any care or love for those around me at all? There's a compulsion in Paul's life. I think the more we have been saved from, the greater appreciation we have and desire to share this with other people. As we get up Monday morning and we go to work or we talk to our neighbor, is this always a burden? This person needs the gospel. Because of all we've talked about, this person has no hope without the gospel. I mentioned it already that as I look into our world, I was looking, you know, watching TV in the UN, but I just got to drive around our city. Go into Costco, Walmart, look. We live in a, I would say it's not even a post-Christian society anymore. We live in a pagan society. Spiritual things, if anything, are very personal and they're completely twisted. But there, for the most part, for most people, there is no God except for myself. And it's utterly hopeless and destitute. And we have people in our world, the majority, who do not have any understanding what Christians even believe. Except maybe that we're supposed to be nice to each other. That's the essence of Christianity. No, it's much bigger than that. I've done more memorial services in my life than I wished I had, especially for, I'm not sure I should say and wished I had, but they're very oppressive, especially when we do them, and Pastor Roy would acknowledge this, for unbelievers. And I stand there before them, and they wanted me to do it for one reason or another. I remember I did a biker funeral one time. That was an interesting experience. And realizing I was looking over this crowd of, this was, you know, quite a crowd. And one guy came up with a bottle of Jack Daniels, put it on the pulpit, and he gave his tribute. And one after the other would come up, and I'm going, oh, what do I do? This is in my church, and Jack Daniels on the pulpit, oh. And they would all take a swig, and they would put it down, and they would all come back. And I was last, and I was going to give now, what do you say? And I had this bottle. It was empty, so I couldn't have a swig. But I was able to share the gospel. I had a captive audience. They listened. This was just representative of the emptiness of their lives. But you have your ministry. You have your place. Yeah, sure, it gets a little trepidation in my heart when I'm looking at a bunch of Harley Davidson riders out there and I'm talking to them about Jesus. But one day I will be held accountable for the opportunity that I had. I've had a number of those kinds of occasions, not quite that significant in terms of drama, but you have yours where God has put you. It's not always easy. But we need to pray with Paul in Ephesians 6:19 that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There is opposition. You may be ridiculed, made fun of, harassed. But I would remind you that Paul says in Philemon 13 that he was in chains for the gospel. In 2 Timothy 1:8, he reminds the young pastor that his sufferings are for the gospel. Jesus died for you, and sometimes we're too scared to even open our mouths for him. But we're not to be ashamed. And when the Holy Spirit sometimes prompts within us, now's an open door, say something, we're to say something. And you never know. Have you experienced the good news of Jesus. That's what's drawn us all together this morning. That's why Roy's going to Italy, to help that church to be a witness. And that's a hard context, I warn you. You've seen that. Difficult, hard soil. Religious soil. But people need Jesus. And may this church, Richmond Alliance Church, be a church that people know that we're about Jesus and the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your reminders to us of the message that we carry. May we be faithful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Did I give you the L? I was just thinking as I'm praying. That doesn't mean I'm thinking what I'm praying. We're the light that shines in a dark world. I went too fast. All right. We're going to close with a final...